If you could turn with me, please, again in the Word of God this evening to the book of Matthew and the chapter 5. In the Gospel according to Matthew and the chapter 5. We want to continue to look at the Beatitudes that Christ mentions at the commencement of his Sermon on the Mount. Christ describing those who are blessed, those who are truly well off, those who are saved in the Lord, those who are redeemed. In Matthew chapter 5, the opening verse, we read, "And seeing the multitudes, he that is the Lord went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." We'll end reading there at verse 12. Let us again come before the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his blessing, even especially now upon his preached word. Our gracious Lord, thou art the living God, and at thy right side is thy beloved Son, the Savior of this world, the one who's purchased every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that sinners can be converted. And I pray, Father, that this evening, that for every one of us, younger and older, that you would search us. May there be no deception this evening, but may the mirror of God show the sin that's in our lives. May the mirror of the Word of God show us how we need Christ to forgive us our sins, the merits of the blood that he shed to wash away our sin, but how we need the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives to change us. And Father, let us be encouraged tonight that Jesus Christ is the one who wants to do both these things, to forgive, to make those that are not right with God, to make them right with thee, and to change them, to make them new creatures, to give them life, true life in Christ. Even for us who are saved, to give us more life in himself, more likeness to himself. So come and answer prayer. In the merits of Christ, we ask all these things, praying that thou wouldst be to me the abundance of help that I need tonight. Bring to my mind afresh the words thou wouldst have me to say. This is a solemn role to which thou hast called me, a solemn duty which thou hast given me. I cannot fulfill it in and of myself. Forgive me for my own sins. Take me up, use me as thy channel. And Father, may Christ receive all the glory this evening. On the merits of Christ to that which lasts for eternity. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a children's TV series called Pinky and the Brain. It had a very simple storyline. It was about two mice. One was called Pinky and the other was called Brain. And in every episode, Pinky would ask Brain, "What's your plan tonight, Brain?" And Brain would reply, "It's the same as it is every night, to take over the world." And every episode then showed a different way in which one mouse, Brain, would seek to take over the entirety of this world. Now, tonight there are many people in the world who are trying to get as much of the world as they can. They acknowledge that they'll not perhaps be a bit like the mouse brain where they get all the world, but they're trying to get as much of the world as they can. Some people this evening, they're trying to acquire as much money as they can in the world in the form of a large bank account or indeed a profitable business. For others, they're trying to own as many possessions in the world as they can. Others, they are trying to enjoy as many experiences in the world as they can, whether it be experience of adventure, fun, or indeed of love. Without doubt, this world has much to offer. There are many beautiful sights to see, beautiful people to meet, beautiful objects to behold, and beautiful foods to eat, to name but a few. But the question comes, what type of person is going to enjoy all of this? What type of person will get to see all the beauties in this world? What type of person will get to behold all the wonders of this world? And what type of person will truly experience this world that God has made? And this is where the controversy commences. Because if you speak to many in the world today, they will say that those who will make it in this world are those that are brash, those who take the world with both their hands. Those who will experience the world today are those who will live for themselves, do what they want to do, who are confident in their own abilities, who think they are something. They're the ones who will get the world. Scripture, however, disagrees. In this third beatitude set before us this evening in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 5, Jesus Christ declares, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they. And again, the word "they" is doubled in the Greek. They and only they shall inherit the earth. To many in this world, meekness is weakness. To others, meekness is shyness. In fact, according to one secular dictionary, meekness is defined as, quote, deficiency in courage. And yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is truth, the one who never lied, the one who could not lie, the one who never had deceit in his mouth, but only ever spoke with absolute certainty and with absolute truth, he is the one who said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Men and women, this evening, Jesus Christ speaks to you and I about those who will indeed inherit the earth. He speaks about those who will inherit not just a small part of the earth, but will inherit all the earth. He speaks about those who will inherit not simply the earth for a short time, but indeed will inherit the earth for all eternity. Because you see, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, God promises a land, a possession that will last for eternity. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible explains that that land is indeed the whole world. That world is described in Revelation chapters 21 and 22 as the new heaven and the new earth. A place where there's no pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more death, no more war. It's a place where there's fullness of peace, of beauty, of loving wonder. All these things eternally dwell there. Who is it that will inherit the new heaven and the earth? Who is it that will inherit the eternal glory? Who is it that will be saved from eternal damnation in hell? Jesus Christ gives us the answer in Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed, happy, well off are the meek, for they, and only they, shall inherit the earth. The question, of course, comes, well, who are the meek? And then the other question comes, am I one of those who are meek? Am I one who's inheriting the new heaven and new earth whenever Christ returns? Am I one that's saved? Or am I not? Who are the meek? And am I one of those who are meek? This evening, by the grace of God, I want to look at various scripture passages to see how scripture itself, how the Holy Spirit himself, who inspired the scriptures, explains to you and I what meekness is and who the meek really are. Straight away, I want to tell you that the meek are not those who are shy, weak, or cowardly, because meekness is commended in the Bible. It's a virtue. And at the same time, in passages such as Joshua 1, we are exhorted to be strong, to be courageous, to have confidence in God. So therefore, God himself, who cannot contradict himself, and he's not the author of confusion, he will not at the one hand say, be meek, and at the same time, be shy and be cowardly. And be those that are deficient in courage. No, Christ doesn't contradict himself. We're commanded to be meek, and at the same time, we're commanded to be strong and courageous and confident in God. So what does meekness actually mean? Who are those that are meek? Notice with me, first of all, this evening, that the meek are those who are truthful. The meek are those who are truthful. Turn me, please, to Galatians chapter 6. A very important passage in relation to all of this. Paul's letter to the Galatians in the chapter 6. In the verse 1, the Apostle Paul, finishing off his letter to believers in Galatia, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." In this verse, you and I have meekness mentioned, and we also have it described, what the spirit of meekness actually is. Meekness is truthfulness. Meekness is acknowledging that you could be tempted to fall into sin just as someone else has. Meekness is acknowledging that in and of yourself, you are no greater and you are no better than any person in the entirety of this world who has ever failed before you. The American minister, A.W. Tozer, once said, "The meek man is one who has stopped being fooled about himself, but has accepted God's estimate of his life." To put it another way, a meek person is one who realizes and acknowledges what God says regarding them and their sinfulness. A person who is meek acknowledges and realizes that they are nothing before God but a sinner. They realize and acknowledge the truth of Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that in and of themselves they are, in their hearts, desperately wicked. Not a little bit wicked, not a tiny bit wicked, not even a significant bit wicked, but desperately wicked. Who can even know the depths of their wickedness? A meek person is one who realizes and acknowledges the truth of Isaiah 1, verse 6, that from the sole of their feet to the top of their head, there is no soundness in them, but spiritual ugliness of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Being meek is realizing and acknowledging the truth of Psalm 14, that there is on this earth none righteous, no, not one. There is not one that is good in and of himself. All are corrupt. Being meek is one who realizes and acknowledges the truth of Psalm 51, the verse 5, that from their very conception in their mother's womb, from the very day of their birth, they have been shapen in iniquity. To their very core, they are bent toward evil. And any good that they would do, they do not do it. The meek are those who are truthful. Let me ask you this evening, are you one who is meek? Are you one this evening who will inherit the new heaven and the new earth? Are you one who agrees with God that you're nothing but a vile sinner? That in and of yourself, there is no good in you? That if there is any good that you ever do, that as the Apostle Paul said, is by the grace of God I am what I am, and by the grace of God alone. Let me ask you this evening, if you, this incoming week, were to discover that a friend of yours, whom you work with, that they had stolen money from their school or their workplace, would you go up to them and in a pompous attitude declare, "How could you ever do that? How could you ever take that? How could you ever stoop so low?" I tell you, you can't be trusted. You're nothing lower than a worm. Or would you say, "Friend, I'm saddened to hear of the sin that you've committed in taking that money that didn't belong to you. And friend, I know that if it were not for the grace of God, I would be doing what you are doing, for I'm a sinner just like you. And my flesh is desperately wicked just like yours. However, what you have done is wrong before God. What you have done is sin. What you have done needs repented from. And just as God gives me grace to turn from my sin to Him, looking for forgiveness in Christ, so God can give you grace to go to Christ for that forgiveness of sin. Are you one who's pompous and proud? Or are you one who's meek and truthful? Fathers and mothers, this evening I speak to myself before I speak to you. But when you see your children behave badly, do you lose your temper with them and declare that you can't believe how foolish they have been and how foolish they are? With an attitude, well, I would never have done that. Or are you one that's meek? Young people, if you have a sibling and they annoy you, are you one who loses the temper with them and shout at them and behave in such a manner that, well, that you are so much better than they? Or are you meek? Young and older this evening, whenever you look at those in this world around us and see those who live in the sins of sodomy, those who live within the sin of transgender, are you one who says, what a fool? You know, I'm not like them. I will never be like them. I would never be like them. I could not be like them. And you know, God, I'm glad I'm not like them. Because I'm better than they. Or are you one who looks at those in the world around us and simply say, Lord, if it were not for thy grace in me, refraining me from sin, there is no sin in this world that my flesh would not pursue and indulge in. Men, women, and young people, I ask you, are you meek this evening? Are you truthful this evening? Are you one who in your mind and in your life realizes and acknowledges the truth of God's word, that in you dwelleth no good thing? That in and of yourself, you are nothing. In and of yourself, you've done nothing. And all you have to offer God is filthy rags. Are you one who's truthful? It was the Apostle Paul who tells us in Romans 12, verse 3, I say to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Are you one who's going to glory tonight? Are you one who will inherit the new heaven and earth tonight? Are you one that's meek? Are you one that's truthful? Or are you one that's proud? Who thinks that you are something? Who thinks that you are better than others? Notice me, second of all tonight, that the meek not only are those who are truthful, but the meek are those who are humble. If you turn me, please, to the Old Testament book of Numbers in the chapter 12. We read about a man who is described as meek in this chapter. Book of Numbers and the chapter 12. We will read verses 1 and 2 in a moment, but look with me please at verse 3, because here we have a parenthesis. We've got brackets. And it's an explanation of the verse that's just gone before. And therefore they explain to us the purpose of them being recorded. In verse 3 of Numbers 12 we read, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So verse 3 explains this, what verses 1 and 2 are all about, and why Moses acted the way he did. Now let's read then verses 1 and 2. What's the situation before us tonight? Numbers 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Men and women, Miriam and Aaron are the sister and brother of Moses. Miriam and Aaron have been with Moses at his right side ever since God delivered Israel from Egypt. Before Moses became the leader of Israel, he had married a woman who was not an Israelite, called Zipporah. described here as an Ethiopian woman. The father of Zipporah, this Ethiopian woman, was one who advised Moses that in leading the children of Israel, it would be wise for Moses to delegate some of his responsibilities of leading and governing the people to others. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, in the verse 16, just prior to Numbers 12, we have God giving Moses that very same command to delegate responsibility to others within Israel. Now, Miriam and Aaron were not chosen to be some of those leaders. They were not chosen among 70 who would help govern Israel. Miriam and Aaron are not pleased at this. They're not pleased at Zipporah. They're not pleased at her father and the advice that he gave to Moses. And they're not pleased at Moses in the choice that he made of the 70 people. They're annoyed. They're frustrated at Moses. They're frustrated at Aaron. They wanted the position. They wanted the honor. And so they turn around and say to Moses, "You know, look, Moses, hath the Lord only spoken by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? You know, Moses, are you not proud and arrogant in the way you've acted here? Are you not selfish and foolish? Because you've missed out us. Moses, are you not self-seeking? Are you not a tyrant obsessed with control? The reason you didn't give us leadership and make us to be some of the 70, because you just wanted it all to yourself and chose people who would just be yes men to you. Moses, you are an abuser of the position that God has given you. Hath the Lord indeed only spoken by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us?" Let me ask you, if you had been accused by somebody of being proud and arrogant, selfish and foolish, self-seeking, a tyrant obsessed with control, an abuser of what God's given you, how would you react? Well, listen, how did Moses react? Did Moses burst into a rage and say to him, "How dare you accuse me of sinning?" Did Moses retaliate against Miriam and Aaron and point out their sins? "Look, Aaron, at your sins. Look at your sons. Look at their wickedness. Look, Miriam, at your hearts and your selfish desire for glory." Did Moses burst into a rage? Did he retaliate and point out the sins of those who were before him? Did Moses respond by pushing them down and lifting himself up? "Look here, Aaron and Miriam. God didn't choose you at the burning bush. He chose me. God didn't use you to put the rod into the Red Sea and the Red Sea then open up. God chose me to do it. God didn't call you up to Mount Sinai to receive the law of God. He chose me. Who are you to accuse me?" Is that how Moses reacted? Did Moses point to his good works and say, "I am God's appointed leader. I am someone. I am something. Don't you dare accuse me. I've done more works for God than you have done. Of course I get to deserve this, to choose the 70 leaders." Moses didn't do any of these things. You read through Numbers 12. You don't see any such response, any such retaliation. In fact, what we do find is verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Why did Moses not respond with anger? Why did he not respond with retaliation? Why did he not give Aaron and Miriam some of their own medicine? Why did he not humble them and push them down? Because Moses was meek. You see, to be meek is to be truthful about yourself, that you are nothing. And indeed, if anybody was going to accuse you of sin, if they actually knew what went through your mind and the depths of the wickedness of the thoughts that you had, well, there's so much more to accuse you of. No, being meek is being truthful, but being meek is also being humble. Humility is where you are not preoccupied with yourself. You're preoccupied with another. See, Moses was so concerned and preoccupied not with himself, but with the work of God. He was so concerned about the will of God, about the church of God, about the work of God. But he wasn't concerned about what Miriam and Aaron were saying about him. That wasn't a priority. That wasn't what mattered here. So let me ask this evening as I speak to myself, are you meek? If someone was to accuse you of being selfish, do you lash back at them? If someone at work says that you have no right to do something, who are you to do that? Are you one who turns around and puts them in their place? Exalt yourself for who you are and what you've done and how they're nothing. If someone in church says there's sin in your life, do you retaliate by showing them all their sins and all their failures and all their shortcomings? Give them some of their own medicine. If someone has a go at you, do you give them the same back, indeed perhaps even some more? Or are you one who's meek? Although imperfect, you're striving to be truthful. To acknowledge that you are nothing but a sinner. And if people were to know the depths of thoughts went through your mind, there was so much more to accuse you of. Are you one who's meek tonight? Are you one who's humble? That you're so preoccupied and so concerned with the will of God and the work of God that you're not preoccupied with what people are saying about you and thinking about you. You don't accuse them, you don't retaliate, you don't get even, you just leave the matter with God, and you just get on with the work that God's called you to do. Let me ask you this evening, are you one who's meek? Christ said, blessed are the meek. Well off are the meek, for they and only they shall inherit the earth. Eternal glory, the new heaven and earth, that place of no more crying, no more pain, and no more death, and no more tears. It belongs only to the meek. Not to anybody else. Throws with me a third description of the meek in Scripture. The meek are those that are truthful about themselves and their sinfulness. The truth, the meek are those who are humble. But notice with me thirdly, the meek are those who are teachable. Turn with me please to James chapter 1 in the New Testament, the book of James. You get to the end of Paul's letters, there finishing off with Hebrews, and then you get into the book of James. If you get to the letters of Peter or John, you've gone too far. Letter of James, in the chapter 1. In the verse 19, James, the servant of God, says these words, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." In these verses, James sets before us two kinds of people. He sets before us, first of all, a person who does not like to listen to what other people have to say, especially if they speak with authority. The person is slow to hear what they're being told. They're quick to speak, they're quick to anger, but they're slow to hear, slow to be taught, slow to learn, slow to see things as they really are. If someone crosses such a person, if someone calls his or her opinion or behavior into question, they're quick to anger, quick to speak, quick to retaliate, quick to accuse, quick to get angry. But they're slow to listen, slow to learn, slow to change, and slow to hear. Bringing it into the spiritual realm, this person is not receptive to the Word of God. If God speaks to such a person and convicts them of a sin, this person does not meditate upon God's will and apply it to their life. Instead, this person gets angry at God. This person quickly thinks of reasons why he actually is okay. He doesn't need to repent and turn from his sins. He actually defends himself. What I'm doing is right. I'm doing it with right motives. I'm sincere. I'm okay. I don't need to repent. I don't need to change. Such a person is not teachable. They are inflexible. They're quick to speak, but they're slow to hear. Is that how God describes you? Or we have the second person set before us in these verses. Someone who's quite different. This person is, verse 19, quick, swift to hear, and they're slow to speak. This person recognizes the limitations of their own knowledge, the fallibility of their own thinking. And so they're eager to listen. They're eager to learn anything valuable they can. If they hear something new, contrary to their own view, they're not quick to anger. They're not quick to speak. They're not quick to defend themselves. They're not quick to argue for themselves. No, they are quick to listen. They're quick to receive the information with meekness, to be teachable, to be flexible, to be moldable to that which is true. Let me ask you this evening, are you one that is meek? Are you one that's teachable? Or are you one that's inflexible? If someone at your home points out some problem in your life, maybe it's an attitude. Are you one who quickly retaliates in anger? Well, just you looky here. What about all my good points? You're not mentioning them. Are you one who thinks you don't need to change? Whenever God's word tells you that you need to change, that what you're doing is sin, you turn around and say, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I'm better than most other people. In fact, I'm better than the one who's telling me that I need to change. Are you one who's quick to speak, quick to get angry, quick to defend yourself, but very slow, very hesitant, very resistant to put God's word into practice? Or are you someone who sees yourself as a sinner, desperately wicked? And you need to be taught. You have been born in sin. You are bent towards sin. You need to be taught. You need to be changed. You need to learn. You do not know it all. You need to be taught of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to learn the Word of God. You need to listen to the Word of God. It doesn't matter what instrument God uses to teach you, even if it is someone who's imperfect. If God was to choose to use a donkey to speak to you, just as God used Balaam, you'd listen anyway. Because you're nothing but a sinner. Now, are you one whenever you're chastised of your sin? Are you one whenever you're rebuked regarding your sin? Are you one, instead of speaking quickly, you just stop and you think and you listen and you learn? And you apply it to your life. And you realize what God's saying here is true. Oh, you're quick to hear, very, very slow to speak. You see, the meek are those who are teachable. Let me ask you, are you one who's teachable? Whenever it comes to the house of God, whenever it comes to hear the preaching of the Word of God, are you one who wants to learn to be taught because you realize you need to be taught? Even if it's something you've heard before, but God impressing a truth upon your heart, you know you need to be changed, you know you need to be saved, you know you need to be forgiven. We need to die to sin daily more and more and live on to righteousness. You know that. So you want to learn. You see that even in yourself, there's still sin. In you dwells no good thing. And of yourself, it is the meek. And it's only the meek that will inherit the earth and eternal glory with God. Let me ask you, are you meek? See, God's word is like a mirror. Sometimes you and I can maybe think we're quite handsome, we're quite beautiful, and then we look in the mirror and we realize, well, actually, no, it's just, you know, life is what it is. Are you one tonight who sees the word of God and maybe came in thinking, well, actually, I'm pretty good and not that bad, you know? Do you realize tonight, actually, I've got so many sins in my life? So that leads us to the next point. The meek are those who are thankful. Oh, yes, they're teachable, but they're thankful. You see, if you turn back to me, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, where we commence this evening. Matthew chapter 5. You see, we are going through the Beatitudes one by one, and they build up one upon another. You see, the meek are those that are described already as the poor in spirit. They're sinners. They are nothing. But you see, like that beggar, they hold out their hand for mercy.
like that beggar, realizing they are nothing and that they will perish because they have nothing and they are nothing, they hold out their hand for grace, for God's riches at Christ's expense. And they see that Christ is the one who's purchased a perfection to cover them. That's why Christ came to live a perfect life, to cover them with a perfection. That's why Christ went to the cross and shed his precious blood so that our sins would be red as scarlet, that they could be made as white as wool, that they could be washed away and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And seeing the riches that are in Christ and seeing how they are nothing in and of themselves, that spiritual beggars filled with shame of their sin and hating their sin, they hold out their hand to Christ for his riches and for his salvation and for his mercy and for his forgiveness and for his perfect life to cover them. And receiving it, they're thankful. Receiving it, the meek person is not concerned about themselves. They're concerned about the Lord. Not concerned about their own reputation. They're concerned about the Lord's reputation. Not concerned about their own little kingdom. They're concerned about the kingdom of Christ. Not concerned about their own little will. They're concerned about the very will of God. Not concerned about their own glory. They're concerned about the glory of God. Everything they have received is all by grace, and they've received the very riches of God Himself in Jesus Christ. They've received forgiveness of all their sins. They've received a perfect life, a righteousness given to them, and they're perfect, spotlessly perfect, legally before God. God loves them with an infinite, everlasting love, a love that cannot be any greater. They've been given eternal glory. So they're thankful. God, who gave everything for them, they want to give everything to God. The meek are those who are thankful. They want to live for God. A number of years ago, whenever I was holding youth council camp there at Shannockmore Outdoor Education Centre, just outside Newcastle, and I asked the young people to define for me what meekness is. And someone gave me this, only a young person, and they gave me this definition. Meekness is strength for God. Strength for God. Not strength for yourself. Strength for God. All that you have, all that you are, you give it to God. You're not perfect, but you're ever turning from your sin and ever striving through prayer and by the grace of God to live for Him who first loved you. Let me ask you tonight, are you meek? Are you thankful for the gospel? That in Jesus Christ there is perfect salvation, full forgiveness for all who come to Him in faith and repentance. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved you and gave Himself for you? The meek are those who are teachable. The meek are those who are thankful. But notice with me something else. The meek are those who are bold. Turn me, please, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And here we see meekness used in a different sense, different from all the rest. Or in the sense that it can be distinguished from the rest. Matthew chapter 11, in the verse 20, Jesus Christ Himself is speaking, and He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, described Himself as meek. Now, of course, Jesus Christ is without sin. He is the one who did no sin. He is the one in whom is no sin. He is the one who could not sin. But He is the one, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 21, who left us an example that we should follow His steps. He was the one, when He was reviled not again. When He was threatened, He committed Himself to the Lord who judgeth righteously.
Jesus Christ was reviled on many occasions. There, as he did the work of God, Jesus Christ was described in Mark 3 as mad, beside himself. But Christ didn't retaliate. In Mark 15, Christ, as he hung upon the cross, paying the debt for our sins, people walked by and they railed upon Christ. That is, they swore at Christ. They cursed Christ. They wagged their heads and disgusted Christ. But Christ didn't retaliate. He said nothing. In Mark 15, 31, when the chief priests mocked Christ, and they said, "Oh, he saved others, but himself he cannot save." Christ could have defended himself, but he didn't. He said nothing. In Mark 15, 32, when the thieves on the cross reviled Christ and cursed Christ, Christ didn't retaliate. Men and women, Jesus Christ could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have called for the ground to open up. He could have defended his own self, but he didn't. Because he's meek. His strength was not for himself and his own comfort. His strength was for his Father. Now, if you turn with me, please, to John chapter 2, we'll see an example of this. Because there are those who, as I've already mentioned, say that meekness is weakness. Meekness is shyness. Meekness is a deficiency in courage. But in John chapter 2, we see Christ, the one who is meek. In John chapter 2, we read about the feast of the Passover in verse 13 and following. And we find in verse 14, "But how Christ found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting." In verse 15, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords," it is a whip, "he drove them out, all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." Men and women, while Jesus Christ did not retaliate whenever it came to defending himself, Jesus Christ with boldness, Jesus Christ with courage, Jesus Christ with strength, he used his own strength for God and for his Father. If his Father was blasphemed, if his Father was one who was dishonored, Jesus Christ would stand up for truth. He would stand up for his Father, and he would speak for the glory of his Father. He would live for God, his Heavenly Father. Let me ask this evening, are you one who's meek? Are you one who's thankful for all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and you've called him for it? And are you one who is striving to use your strength, your days, your opportunities, not for yourself that you'll be seen or be remembered, but for God, that God will be seen, that God will be remembered, that God will be loved, that God will be praised, that God will be exalted? And while you don't defend yourself, yet you will defend God. You will speak up for God. You will declare the glory of God. It is the meek, and only the meek. As those who strive for meekness and thankfulness for what Christ has done, it's they and only they that will inherit the new heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus himself was the one who said, if we are ashamed of the Lord, he'll be the one that's ashamed of us at his coming. One final thing tonight. The meek are those who are thankful, using their strength for God. But finally, the meek are those who are trusting. Turn me, please, to Psalm 37. Last place I ask you to turn. Psalm 37. You see, Matthew 5, verse 5 is actually a quote from Psalm 37. Whenever they're placed into the same language of Greek, they're almost identical in their phraseology and wording. In Psalm 37, we read in verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Now this is in contrast to verse 12, where the wicked plot against the just. They gnash upon the just with their teeth, and the Lord will laugh at him, and he sees that his day is coming. That day of judgment, that day of condemnation, that day of damnation is coming. But who are the meek? Verse 11 tells the meek shall inherit the earth. But who are the meek? Well, look with me, please, at verse 9. Why, we're told that evildoers shall be cut off. We read, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, it's a very simple way of understanding the Bible. But in verse 9 and verse 11, we're told about those who inherit the earth. They're clearly the same people. In verse 11, we're told it's the meek. In verse 9, we're told it's those that wait upon the Lord. Those who are meek are therefore those who wait upon the Lord. Those who believe God is who He says He is. Those who believe that God has said what He said He will do. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who are trusting. You see, the whole context of the psalm is regarding verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't worry about the evil that's happening in this world. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't turn to their evil ways thinking, well, if I want to get anything in this world, if I want to achieve anything in this world, I must do what they do. No, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious with them. Why? Verse 3, instead, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 6, and He shall bring thy righteousness as the light. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Verse 8, cease from anger. Don't do what the wicked do. Don't retaliate. Don't join them. Don't go their ways. Don't live their ways. No, forsake wrath. Verse 9, why? For, because of all this, evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Let me ask this evening as I close. The Bible promises that there are those in this world who will receive this earth, who will inherit it. They will be given it. A new heaven and a new earth. No more crying, no more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. Eternal glory. Ultimately with the Lord Himself. Who are those that get it? It's not the wicked on this earth. It's not those who live for themselves. It's not those who do their own thing. It's not those who think they are something. It's not those who take this world with their own hands. They may get some of this earth, but they get it only for a short time. And they only get a little bit of it. And one day when Christ returns, it'll all be taken off them. So God says, don't be like the wicked. Don't worry about the wicked. Don't be envious of the wicked of what they get in this earth. Believe me. Believe me that it is the meek that they will indeed inherit all the earth, and they will inherit it for eternity. They will inherit the Lord Himself. Let me ask you, what will you inherit at the end of time? Will you lose all that you have because you're not teachable? You're not willing to listen to the Word of God? You think you are something? Or are you one who realizes that the truth that you're nothing but a sinner? You're truthful. You're one who's humble. You're so preoccupied with the Lord, ever teachable, learning from Him. Ever thankful that He is the one who's purchased salvation for you. And you want to live for Him, and you want to serve Him. No matter what anybody else is saying or doing, you want to live for Him. No matter what they achieve, no matter what they accomplish, no matter how much they seek to progress and advance, you just want to live for the Lord because you trust in the Lord. That it is the meek and only the meek that will inherit the earth. Will inherit the Lord. Are you meek this evening? Are you blessed this evening? Are you well off this evening? Are you truly saved this evening? Are you one who's meek? Or are you one who's proud? Who's turning to the ways of the world to try and get what you want? Christ said, blessed are the meek, and only the meek, for they and only they shall inherit the earth. Will you inherit the earth whenever Christ returns? Because it was love to you in the gospel at Calvary? Or will you not?